Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we are unpacking Chapter 55 of Dungeons & Drams, titled Slide.
And let me tell you, R, this chapter took that title very literally. We had sliding, we had gliding, and we had, quite possibly, the biggest glow-up in the history of the campaign.
Absolutely. I think we have to start there. We cannot bury the lead. The kobold situation.
Rax! Little Rax! One minute he's a kobold finding a dusty scabbard. The next minute, cue the 80s cartoon theme music.
Whosoever saith my name shall possess the power of He-Rax! It's incredible! He turns into an 8-foot-tall gold dragonborn paladin. It's the ultimate power fantasy!
I love the description of the transformation. The ice floor cracking, the celestial battle cat named Benjur appearing, it's completely over the top.
But what I loved even more was the party's reaction, specifically Tuki.
Oh, typical Tuki. Just casually disappointed. Ah, well, that's a bummer. Jax was my favorite. He can't even get the name right.
It highlights that specific brand of D&D humor, where a miracle occurs, literal divine intervention, and the party gnome is just annoyed he lost his small mascot.
But on a deeper level, this changes the game balance significantly. Rax isn't just a side pick anymore, he's an Oathborn paladin with a Holy Avenger. They effectively gained a high-level party member right before the endgame.
Which they are going to need, considering where they are. The Caves of Hunger are not a joke. And speaking of threats, we have to talk about the scouting mission.
Doug and the Arcane Eye. This section gave me chills. It started with finding that weird grove with the purple pears, which was creepy enough, but then finding the Drow outpost.
It's the return of Gnarl Zebrindis, the Xanathar Guild spy. That is a callback with some weight to it.
And the way he handled the Arcane Eye? Usually you scout unnoticed, but Gnarl looks up, makes eye contact with an invisible sensor, and says, "Welcome to the show."
It's pure power moves. He kicks the eye out of the room with a ward. It establishes that the Drow here aren't just scavenging, they are prepared wizards.
Velen Harpel brings up a good point, though. Are they allies? Drow pragmatism suggests they might be, but betrayal is always on the table.
Gnarl claiming they have a mutual matter to discuss is ominous. But the party didn't have much time to dwell on geopolitical underdark politics because, well, the chapter is called Slide.
The borehole. We see this all the time in TTRPGs. The players see a mysterious, frictionless tunnel leading down into the dark. Common sense says, don't jump in.
Adventurer brain says, whee!
He-Rax goes first, the paladin. Then Doug, then Delnis, just hurling themselves into the unknown.
I do appreciate Tuki trying to maintain some sanity, watching Oyami Nartok use the Shield Guardian as a ladder to hunt Mephits. I don't think I'm insured for that.
Tuki is the only one worried about property damage, while everyone else is worried about ancient curses. But eventually, they all go down the slide.
And land right in the soup. Hot springs littered with bones.
Enter the Remorhaz. A mother and 3 young ones. This is a nightmare scenario. You are in deep water, it's boiling hot, and you're fighting things that are literally made of heat.
The mechanics here are brutal. Delnis is in his element, water, but his main weapon deals cold damage, and the Remorhaz is immune. Plus, hitting them burns you.
And then, the moment of the match. The Remorhaz swallows He-Rax whole.
First combat as a superhero paladin, and he gets eaten. It's humbling.
It's what he did inside that got me laughing. He panics, understandably, and breathes fire. Inside a creature that is immune to fire.
He essentially gave the monster spicy indigestion. It burps fire out at Doug.
Tactical error aside, the cinematic visual of Tuki sliding down on the Shield Guardian like a surfboard and hook-shotting into the icicles, peak action movie.
It really was. Tuki salvaging the situation with that sneak attack was crucial. He targeted the nerve on the monster's neck to make it regurgitate the paladin.
Yeah, otherwise He-Rax was going to be dissolved before his career even started. The fight isn't over, though. They've regrouped. Hirax is covered in slime and burns. Delnus is frustrated, and they are surrounded by the young Remorhazes.
And don't forget the shield guardian is melting. Every time it punches the monster, it takes heat damage.
Tuki is going to have a heart attack about the repair bill. Overall, this chapter perfectly balanced the whimsy of the Hirax transformation with the visceral, deadly reality of high-level monster hunting.
Agreed. They survived the slide, but can they survive the landing? We'll have to wait for the next chapter.